Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the LWC Digital Audio Service. We've got a very special edition lined up for you. Luke Knight will be teaching all the men out there exactly what it takes to maintain the perfect 5 o'clock shadow. We'll find out just how much caffeine it takes to keep Rebecca Monzo so enthusiastic. And Dave Soames is going to teach us how to whip up a special dish using only a can of baked beans, some Cool Whip, and ground cumin. In all seriousness, though, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Over the next 45 minutes, you're going to be hearing scriptures, prayers, songs, a pastoral moment from Ryan, and a sermon from Luke. We've recorded these segments while maintaining the appropriate physical distancing from each other as we're taking our government mandates seriously. In fact, using the magic of technology, we've recorded some of these segments at different times. Today we're starting out our series in the book of James, a prayerfully chosen place for us to camp out in the midst of our current situation. Because as you'll hear in just a moment, whenever trouble comes our way, the thing to ask for is wisdom. And James has been gifted with wisdom to spare. So take a moment. Take a breath. Get comfortable. You're here, wherever you are. Say a little prayer asking the Holy Spirit to highlight in your heart what he'd have you hear today. And here's Rebecca with our first reading from the book of James.
James 1:1-8. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. From all that dwell below the skies, let the Creator's praise arise. Let the Redeemer's name be sung through every land by every tongue. Lord, we pray. Begin the song to every let the strains belong in cheerful sounds, all voices raise and fill the world with loudest praise. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Hi, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in. Today, we're beginning a new series in the book of James, which we're subtitling Ancient Wisdom for Right Now. So let's get into the book of James together. Imagine yourself sitting on a hillside on a warm day, surrounded by thousands of other people from all walks of life, and everyone is listening to someone teach. The teacher is saying things like, don't hoard whatever you can. If you're going to hoard anything, fill up your shelves with what lasts, eternal, priceless God treasure. What you hoard betrays your heart. Or the teacher says, treat others the way you'd like to be treated. This sums up everything God's been trying to get across to humanity since time began. Or the teacher says, listen to what I'm telling you. If you listen and build your life on what I'm saying, even the worst storm won't blow you over. If you shut your ears, you'll erode away like a sandy riverbank. It's been a long day, but you can't get enough of this teacher. He's passionate, he's ruthlessly honest, he's delightfully imaginative, using pictures and story. You want to do what he says. Something deep inside says that this is the way to really live. Now imagine that you turn to your left and see a 20-something man sitting next to you, who also seems enthralled by what you're both hearing. Can you believe this? You say, I've never heard anything like it. I can't believe it, the young man responds. That teacher is my brother. It's widely held that the book of James was written by one of Jesus' younger brothers. The Gospels tell us that at first, Jesus' family found it hard to believe who he really was, but that after Jesus' death and resurrection, they trusted. As a younger brother to Jesus, James later became a leader in the first church in Jerusalem, and this little letter is what he left behind. Siblings, we all know, can be really different, but also quite similar. And when you read the letter of James, little brother sounds a lot like big brother. In the Gospels, Jesus' teaching is wise, compelling, compassionate, and no nonsense. Jesus spoke to the heart, and James follows in his footsteps. Some people even think that the book of James is modeled after Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. So reading James can at times feel like we're just one handshake away from Jesus himself. There's all kinds of literature in the Bible, narrative, poetry, and ancient law codes, to name just a few. The book of James is what's called wisdom literature. When we think of someone wise, we might imagine someone who knows a lot or who has had a good deal of life experience. But the scriptures say that wisdom is not about how many degrees you've earned or even how much life experience you've got or how old you are, for that matter. In the Bible, wisdom is defined as right living. Wisdom is proved by the fruit of our lives, by living like God lives or not. So no matter how old or educated or experienced we may or may not be, wisdom is proved by how much we live like God in day-to-day life. That's one way of thinking about Jesus, come to think of it. Jesus is supremely wise because Jesus lived as God lives, fleshing out God's character, God's ways of being for us as clear as day. And that's what James aims to get across in his letter also. Like Jesus, using metaphor and imagery and hard-hitting language, he invites us into a life that looks and sounds like God's life, a wise life filled with compassion and trust. So let's get into the letter. Let's talk first about trust and trouble. Trust is where James starts. He begins by writing, "When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." There's a Scottish poet and minister named George MacDonald. He was a huge influence on figures from the writer of Peter Pan, J.M. Barrie, to C.S. Lewis, even to Mark Twain. MacDonald once wrote, "To be trusted is a greater compliment than to be loved." One of the most helpful things anyone has ever told me is that faith is just another word for trust. So when we think about our faith growing, maybe we're not talking about some magical feeling we have to conjure up in order to know God. Maybe a growing faith is simply a growing trust in God, no matter what hits us. That's what James launches into right away. If we're facing trouble, it's a chance to grow in our trust of God. Reflecting on MacDonald's words about love and trust, what if trusting God is the best way to grow in our love of God? James also says that trouble is an opportunity for joy. Now, anyone who's seen real trouble might not go that far. But James, with ruthless honesty, confronts his readers with the truth. How can joy be a product of trouble? Because trouble drives us further into the arms of God, where we confess our need for God, we learn our dependence on God, and grow in our trust with God. James says that God's arms are the safest, most consistent, most loving arms we can choose to hold us. And with God's company comes joy. What James does then, with great wisdom, is to take any kind of negative trouble and help us to see how it has a positive potential to lead us into deeper trust with God. So reflecting on trouble and trust, the first question we might ask ourselves in hearing James' words is, where are we taking our trouble? Where are we taking our trouble? James says, "With your fists full of trouble, run wholeheartedly into God's trustworthy arms." Let's talk next about what else James says in this section. Let's talk about asking for wisdom. James writes next that when we face trouble and turn to God in trust, we can ask God for wisdom because God will help to steady us. A few years ago, I was invited on a sailing trip, and with a crew of four and in a 25-foot boat, we crossed the Georgia Strait and spent a week around some of the local islands in the area. I was the least experienced of the crew. And when I say least experienced, I mean I'd never sailed before, and I couldn't tell starboard from port to save my life. And there were times when knowing that kind of information was literally going to save my life. I remember crossing the Georgia Strait, and even the experienced sailors felt that we were in pretty rough weather that day. Out on the open ocean, we got battered around like a rubber ducky in a supercharged hot tub. The only thing that kept me physically in the boat, and our boat the right way up, was the wisdom of the captain and our willingness to follow his instruction. There was no room for pride. If I had a question, I had to ask it. If he told me to do something, I had to do it, sometimes without knowing why I was doing it. We made it across the strait, and I didn't go overboard. And to this day, just staying on board is my proudest sailing accomplishment. James writes that when trouble hits, when a storm hits, we can ask God for wisdom. We can ask God to show us to live right side up, and God will generously give us the wisdom we need. A little like a captain of the boat that I was on, we can turn to God in the chaos and ask God what to do. We can trust. But James says that we must put our full trust in God, or we'll end up all over the place. Again, a little like my captain in our boat, I had to either trust him or not. It wouldn't have helped me to follow his lead one moment and do my own thing the next. I had to recognize who the captain was and fully trust him. This is where James ups the stakes a little. He says that when we ask God for wisdom, when we choose to trust God, we shouldn't waver. Trusting God one day, trusting ourselves the next. And he uses the image of water in the wind, saying that when we flip-flop in trusting God, we're like a little wave in a giant ocean, being tossed and blown around. He goes even so far as to say that someone like that has divided loyalties, that their instability spreads, and the ripples of that instability will roll out through their whole lives. They've no clear bearing. They're just adrift at the whims of the wind. Now, we're all going to have off days when it comes to trusting God, and I'm sure James did too. But all the same, he doesn't pull any punches. He dares us to only ever grow in our trust so that we mature as human beings. So rather than being adrift, tossed around people, James implores us to trust God with everything we've got, asking God for the wisdom that we need for living. And James reminds us that God won't scold us for asking for what we need. He tells us that God is generous. Later, he's going to write that every good and perfect gift comes to us from the same God who lit the luminaries in the heavens. On that sailing trip, I had to learn how to tie and find a few knots, to do a few things that I didn't know what to do, some new skills. And I don't know how many times I had to ask for help, how many times I had to ask to be shown how to do things. But thinking back, every time the captain and the first mate were gentle and kind with me, even when I kept getting things wrong. At one point, while I was at the helm, I actually grazed another boat in a marina. But even when that happened, I felt a hand on my shoulder, literally. And the first mate said, with a wink and a warm smile, "It's okay. Just keep going. You can do it." And helped me navigate out of the marina. I think that that's what God's like. So the next question we might ask ourselves in thinking about asking for wisdom is, what do we need to ask God for? What do we need to ask God for? James says, ask away. God's as generous as they come with wisdom. In closing, all this talk about asking and giving might remind us again of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel. Maybe we need to hear these words in the season that we're all sitting in right now. Maybe we need to hear these words like the first listeners might have, with the sun on our faces and the wind whistling up and around the hillside. Maybe we need to hear the echo of Christ's voice over that hillside and into our ears today. In reference to prayer, Jesus says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Your heavenly Father gives good gifts to those who ask him." And to that we all say, Amen.
We need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. this we know, you promised never to forsake. What you began, you will sustain. This we know, this we know. I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Of your worth, this we know. And every enemy will flee as we declare your victory. This we know, this we know. Shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call his name. Jesus' name above every other. All hail the power of Jesus' name. We'll call upon the Lord, for Jesus rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain.
Thanks for that, Rebecca and Michelle. I'm here with Reuben and Rebecca from the appropriate distance to share some church news with you. Hey guys, welcome here.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having us. Just excited to take a few moments to talk about what's going on and how everyone can get connected here at Living Waters during this time. We're very grateful for technology, and we're grateful that with our life groups in our church community, we haven't missed a beat because we're able to join over different platforms and video conferencing and whatever that may look like for each of our groups. And so if you're not in a life group and you're feeling a little lonely in isolation right now and you want to reach out and connect more in community here at Living Waters, you can do that in a life group. And they're still meeting, and we're looking to creating a few more groups to get started up over the next few weeks. And so feel free to go to our website, lwchurch.ca, and check out the groups that are going on and reach out to a leader or reach out to any of our team here. And we'd love to connect you in a life group. It's not too late. And if anything, it's actually the perfect time to join a group and get connected in that way.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's amazing. Groups have been, people have been joining groups in the season. People have been finding a way to get more connected in the season, which is absolutely
that
awesome.
That comes, I think, with a lot more free time.
Yes, this is true.
So good. Well, the Youth Network is online. And if you are 12 to 18 years old, or you just feel that way, and you're looking for a community to with people your age, we want to invite you to join us every day from Tuesday to Thursday at 7 p.m. on our Instagram page at Youth Network LWC, where we have daily devos, weekly squad challenges, and DM slash Zoom squad discussions led by our squad leaders. It's always a fun time. We have great discussions, and we've had some really great devos from some pretty awesome people.
For all the people out there in Radioland who don't know what a squad is.
Ooh, it's like a small group for teenagers. We like to use like cool lingo.
Yeah, maybe continue to translate. What is a DM?
It's a direct messaging part of the Instagram. This is what I'm learning from teenagers.
Well, speaking of the Instagram, the Young Adult Network is also online. We're doing most of our stuff on Instagram as well. Every Tuesday, sometime in the afternoon, there's the Theological Word of the Week, which is a very exciting time to learn some really deep words. We've been doing the Desert Island Disciplines every Thursday, which is just some advice that I've been gathering from ancient sources to help you thrive while you're in isolation. And next Thursday, we've got something really exciting starting. We're going to be doing an interview show on Instagram Live. So I'm starting to line up some people from our community who work in mental health, who have studied sociology and a bunch of different other things to come on there and have a chat that you can join in on and ask questions. So we're super excited to see you there. Next up, we've got Ryan coming with The Moment.
Thank you, Ruben and Rebecca, for letting us know the meaningful things that are happening around our church community. I'm so proud of Living Waters for not disengaging during these times, but rather leaning in and engaging in greater ways. Last week, our journey as a community through the season of Lent came to a conclusion with our celebration of Easter. We had encouraged our community to do four things in the season of Lent: put something down to pick something up, pray in community, read the story, that's the story of Jesus, and don't forget to party. Personally, my greatest struggle during the season of Lent was with what to pick up. I knew there were so many things that I could and probably should put down for a season. But what do I pick up? We can pick up lots of things, and no, I'm not talking about viruses here. I'm talking about things like habits, hobbies, attitudes, and life rhythms. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in the city of Thessalonica, he said that he is praying about and thanking God for their faithful work, their loving deeds, and their enduring hope. The words enduring hope have struck me these past weeks as I have pondered the words from the Apostle Paul. In these days, it is easy to get filled with anxiety, worry, and fear. Although each of us justifiably experience these emotions, the Apostle Paul says that this isn't what we are to be defined by. We are to be about faithful work, loving deeds, and enduring hope. Hope. Hope that doesn't end, but rather endures. Hope that lasts longer than what most would expect. Hope that goes on forever. This week, even though it's no longer the season of Lent, I am choosing to pick up enduring hope. Where do I find it? I find it in the Bible, and in prayer, and in my friends and family. I find it in words like, when you face trouble, consider it opportunity for great joy, as we've heard today. I find enduring hope in the empty tomb that we celebrated last Sunday. Will you join me in picking up enduring hope? I hope you will. Let me pray, then we will sing, God, I look to you. Jesus, we look to you today. We look to you for joy, for wisdom, and for hope. Each of us is facing the realities of our lives being different than they were a short time ago, and with that comes anxiety, worry, fear. Jesus, would you breathe hope into us today? Thank you that you call us toward yourself. You walk with us in times of trouble. So Jesus, be with us this week. We need you because you know just what to do. Amen.
God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Hallelujah, our God reigns. Hallelujah. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit whisper in your heart this morning, what you're taking away with you to think through, to pray through, and to work on. Whatever it is, I leave you with this blessing. May the peace of Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you in the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.